Welcome to the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Jen Kleiber, owner of the educational consulting company, The Responsive Classroom, creator of the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, and your host as we journey through this business-building life together. Our mission at the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur is to equip online business owners to step fully into God's purpose for their lives and business with unwavering faith, biblical truth, and essential marketing strategies. Our verse for this season of business is Ephesians 3:20. All glory to God, who is able, through Christ at work within us, to do infinitely more than we might ask or think. Friends, if you're needing inspiration, feeling stuck and unsure of next steps, feeling worn down by trying to tackle everything on your own, or feeling like you are constantly on a hamster wheel producing content but not getting the conversions you want, this podcast is for you. A little business and a lot of Jesus. Welcome to the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Podcast, friends. Let's dive in. Hi, friends, and welcome to the third episode in our Why We Need It and How We Read It series. In this episode, we're going to talk about how the Bible is our weapon of defense. Now, before we jump in, if you have not listened to the first two episodes in this series, take the time at some point to go back and listen to them. Listen, making a daily habit of reading and meditating on the Word is not always easy, and it can be even harder to actually obey and follow what it says, especially when we are living in such a counter-biblical culture right now. You need to have a deep understanding of how the Word of God is our lifeline if you're going to be able to commit and stay consistent with reading and obedience, right? You need the why. And I'm not opposed to topical sermons and Bible studies at all, but I think we've gone so far that way in the teaching that we've maybe lost some of the pure reliance on the Bible. We're more reliant on the preacher to teach us and then throw in a few Bible verses instead of letting the Bible teach us and then maybe get a little guidance while we read it. Make sense? But I know that relying so heavily on the Word may be a scary thought to you, especially if you haven't been taught or shown how to read the Bible. But you're not alone. In fact, I would say that you're in the same boat with the majority of Christ followers. And so we want to help you change that. Right now, you can head to thefaithfulentrepreneur.com to download the Strategies for Reading the Bible guide, or just head to our show notes or the social media post or email where you saw this episode, and it'll be there for you as well. And as always, y'all, I want to thank you for downloading and sharing these episodes. This Bible literacy series is for everyone, not just entrepreneurs. So please share with any of your friends who are wanting to dive deeper into the Word. Okay, so let's get started on this episode's content here. God is real. The Bible is real. Jesus is real. Obviously, as Christ followers, we believe this and we are thankful for this. But sometimes we don't like to believe or think about the fact that if God and the Bible and Jesus are real, Satan is also very real. And right now, while I believe with all my heart that God has won the overall victory, Satan has a foothold on our country, on our families, and even in some of our churches. And we have to be talking about this. We have to acknowledge it for what it is, because only then can we properly and effectively fight him. And how do we fight him? Shocker, I know. The Word. The Bible is our number one weapon of defense against Satan. In John 10:10, Jesus says so plainly, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. But y'all, the thief can be sneaky. So let's first talk about what Satan's foothold possibly looks like. Okay, number one, it could look like narratives steeped in lies coming from places of authority. So what are places of authority? Media, schools, government, preachers, anywhere where there is influence. Just like the Bereans did when Paul was preaching in Acts 17:10 through 11, it says they searched the scripture day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching truth. Y'all, we've got to do that too. As more and more narratives are coming about us, when the Holy Spirit makes your spirit uneasy, we have a guide, and that is the Word. And we have got to measure everything that's coming at us with what the Bible says to find the truth there. Okay, number two, sin. We are in a culture right now where certain sins are not only accepted, but praised. Sin causes separation from God. We cannot live in perpetual sin and expect to have a close, right relationship with God. We will be separated from Him. And when we are separated from Him, Satan has a foothold. Okay, number three, selfishness. Now, while obviously this is a sin, I wanted to point it out because it is what the culture is shouting from the rooftops right now. And maybe I should call it not only selfishness, but a self-centeredness. I know I talk about this a lot, but it is so heavily preached in the secular business influencer space as well. And this is just not how we are called to operate, nor will it ever fulfill or sustain us, because we do not know what we need. And when we put ourselves first, we're closing ourselves off to the ways that the Bible actually says that we will be fulfilled. Okay, number four, greed and envy. Again, obviously these are sins, but with the social media craze, these have risen to the surface in crazy kind of ways. They are causing comparison, which is the thief of joy and contentment and gratefulness, and they are shifting our focus off of God's purpose. When we are working to get the bigger house and all the toys to keep up with our friends on social media, we perhaps neglect our kingdom purpose along the way. America is very stuck in this vicious cycle, and Satan definitely has a foothold in our families, in our businesses, in every area by using this greed. Okay, so next, before I talk about the actual way we are supposed to combat Satan, I want to share a few observations of the way that I think we are trying to combat these things apart from the Word. Now, let me say this. Satan attacks everybody, right? He does not only attack believers. He does not only attack non-believers. He attacks everybody. So I think that we are all feeling this pressure of being attacked by Satan. It's just that some of us know what it is and others of us don't. So we're all looking for ways to feel better, right? We're all looking for ways to fill the gap. We're all looking for ways to find truth. It's just a matter of how we get there. All right, so here are some ways that I think all of us, believers and non-believers, are trying to combat these attacks from Satan. Number one, we are using feelings to make decisions, right? So the world is pushing this follow your heart kind of mentality, but our heart is very deceitful. And we are listening to narratives, we're having a feeling about something that is being said, and then we're diving in on an emotional level. And these feelings could be fear, they could be sympathy, they could be empathy, they could be a desire to avoid conflict. I mean, you name it, right? We've got all kinds of feelings. We're all in our feels right now. But when we are making decisions based out of feelings, even if we're trying to make the right decision and not based on the truth that is found in the Word, there's a really good chance that our feelings are going to lead us astray and we are going to make the wrong decision. Number two, apathy. When too many feelings come into play and we can't sort through them, if we don't go to the truth to help us sort through them, we may have a tendency to shut it all off and say, I don't know, and remain in our comfortable little bubble. And we are not called to do this either. And there are too many Christians who are living a very apathetic life that are not furthering their kingdom purpose because they can't sift through everything that's being thrown at them, right? And the only way we can sift through it is by measuring it up to the Word. Okay, number three. We, and when I say we, I mean myself included, but I'm also talking about Christians, justify and even celebrate sin. We're all guilty here. Everyone is doing it, so it's just the way things are right now, right? That's kind of the phrase that we tell ourselves. But the Bible remains unchanging, y'all. And one of the scary and comforting things all at the same time is that there are several examples of societies throughout the Bible that normalized sin. And God either brought them back around through revival or He destroyed them. But either way, he does not accept that everyone is doing it, excuse. And so we cannot either. And we cannot let sin be normalized just because society all seems to be moving in that direction. Okay, number four. I'm calling this self-care, and I'm rolling my eyes a little bit here. Y'all, we obviously have to take care of ourselves, right? And as I said in an earlier episode, our bodies are temples. God commands us to rest. He gives us nature and music and beautiful ways to find joy in life. But self-care is a gimmick. When you need rest, rest. When you need to eat better because you're not feeling good, eat better. When you need to take a break, take a break. But whatever you do should always align with the Bible. And if you ever hear me say the term self-care, that's what I'm talking about, is doing what the Bible tells us to do. But self-care, and I'm putting this in quotes here, self-care, the self-care movement is a money-making marketing scheme. I'm going to call this out. I probably shouldn't, but I use the app Beachbody to work out, and I really like it. I've used it for years. It works well for me. I like the workouts on it. However, I noticed that they have started a new marketing phrase. Maybe it's not new, but I just noticed it, to sell their products called Job One, meaning your first job is to take care of yourself. It's not true. Your first job is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Your second job is to love your neighbor as yourself. So you're still loving yourself, but not above others. And your kingdom purpose is always to share the gospel and serve others. So you're not job one, actually. Hate to burst our bubble, right? Okay, and then number five, we keep buying things. We work more. We spend less time with our families. We buy more things. We are searching for the next thing or experience to fulfill us. And we still aren't deeply content because we know that that will not fulfill us in a way that Christ will. Okay, so those are some of the ways that I think that we as Christians, I believe that society as a whole are feeling the pressure of these spiritual attacks from Satan in trying to fulfill it with things that are not of the Lord. Y'all, I am not throwing stones. I've been guilty of every single one of these. And the more we can recognize when our minds go to this place of trying to fight this battle without scripture, the more we can redirect our minds, right? Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Growing up, I feel like the customs and behaviors of my friends aligned pretty well with the customs and behaviors of the Bible, because that was kind of living in the Bible Belt. That's kind of the direction that culture was going. Not that there wasn't sin, there was, but it wasn't celebrated. But 20 years later, 25 years later, times are different, right? But the Bible is not surprised by that. They even tell us, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. They know that the pattern of this world is going to be different than the pattern of the Bible. So we can't be surprised by it. And I think it's super important that we are cognizant of when we are copying the customs and behavior of the world, because it happens in a sneaky way, right? It's not, Satan doesn't show up with devil horns on his head. He shows up in very sneaky ways where all of a sudden we're so deep into it that we didn't even realize that we were going down that path, right? Until there's a consequence down there. So the moment that we recognize that we are copying the customs and behavior of the world and not aligning biblically, the easier we can change it. Okay, so how do we fight this enemy? Well, thankfully, Paul tells us. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, you are going to be familiar with this passage, but I want you to listen to it from the perspective of the power of Scripture, okay? It says a final word, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all of the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." That is some serious warfare right there, y'all. Paul is not playing. He is laying it out there for us. Okay, verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every occasion. Woo! So where does Scripture fall here? The belt of truth. Where do we find this? In Scripture. God's righteousness. Where do we understand what God's righteousness is? In Scripture. The good news. Where do we find that? Yep, Scripture. The shield of faith. Where do we learn about faith? How it grows? Heroes of the faith? Scripture. Salvation? Scripture. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps us in so many ways, but one of the biggest ways that it helps us is to understand Scripture. Also, verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and in every occasion. We can and absolutely should pray Scripture. Now, one of the biggest ways that we can combat Satan is to walk and live in freedom. When we are bound by the chains of sin, whether that is greed or lust or envy or any consistent and persistent sin that has a hold on our life, we are separated from God and our lives just become a playground for Satan. How do we walk in freedom? We obey God by obeying the Scriptures. Let me give you a few scriptures to back this up. Psalm 119, 44 through 45. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. This definitely feels countercultural. Obeying commands equals freedom? Why, yes, friend, it does. Scripture can also be used to literally remove Satan from a situation. When Satan was tempting Jesus on the mountain, you know the story, right? I'm just going to read you the last of this encounter. Matthew 4, 8 through 11 says, next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Verse 10 says, get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Verse 11, and I love this. Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. Are there situations in your life when you need Satan out? You need him out of your child's life, you need him out of your spouse's life, you need him out of a bad situation in business, you need him out of temptation in your own life, you need him out of negative self-talk, right? Scripture is your answer. Jesus is victorious and we have that power through Christ, but we've got to use it, people. We know that Satan is the father of lies, and right now we seem to be a society operating out of a place of lies, and it's frustrating. So frustrating. But again, this is not new. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, Paul says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. So, side note, if you are doing this, please stop. It is not helping. Paul says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. I just want to add a caveat here that the context in which Paul operated was that he preached that the new believers took care of each other and their communities. So the non-believers saw people living out the word so that when they spoke to them about Christ, they already saw his love and grace being worked out in their lives, right? Scripture was still used as a weapon to destroy false narratives, but not used in a sense that they beat people over the heads with it. Okay, let me read to you another verse. This is a new one that I came across that I really loved. Okay, 1 John 2:14 says, I have written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I've written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. Here it is. God's word lives in your hearts and you have won your battle with the evil one. How do we win? We put that scripture in God's heart. As I've said before, and will continue to say, I'm continually amazed at how clear the scriptures are. They truly are not written in code. They are written in a way that the baby Christian can understand and the scholar can study, especially when you read it all in context. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us, right? So just dive in. Just dive in. In the next episode, we're going to talk about strategies for diving in. I hope that after the last three episodes, you have a little bit of a sense of urgency as to the need to be deep in the scriptures for your joy, your hope, your guidance, your direction, your protection, and your defense against Satan. We cannot live out our lives abundantly, not in true abundance, like Jesus-sized abundance, without meditating and following the scriptures. So remember, before you turn to anyone or anything else, turn to scriptures first, right? When you feel like you're under attack, when you feel like you're not content, when you feel like you're being tempted, turn to scriptures first. We'll talk about more strategies for reading the Bible in the following episode, but you can always Google topics in the Bible to start with. And if you want to grab that list of strategies now, remember to head to our show notes or to the website at thefaithfilledentrepreneur.com. Please download and share this episode, this series, with your friends who are wanting to dive in as well. And we will be back with another episode of The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur next week. So I just want to remind everyone that if you are a business owner or you are in the planning phases of being a business owner, follow us at Instagram at The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur or on Facebook at jenkleiber.thefaithfilledentrepreneur to get business strategies, biblical truth for guidance and encouragement, and just to have a community that celebrates each other, networks with each other, and prays for each other. We're on TikTok now too, and you can always check out thefaithfilledentrepreneur.com to find out all that is going on and to get additional resources to help you build your faith and your business. Bye for now.